We are at the last sermon in this sermon series on heaven, and we've covered a couple things that I just want to remind you of. One is that when we talk about heaven, the Bible often refers to heaven and the place where God lives as the place where all needs are met, where all of the things are taken care of there. There is no want, no tears, no pain, no hurt there in heaven where God is. A couple of other things that I want to remind you of as we get into this sermon, and that is that heaven is a holy place. Sin is not allowed. God is there, holy, and because of that reason, because of his great holiness, sin cannot enter in. And as a result, God brings about people's entrance into heaven by grace, by providing a way for forgiveness to happen for us. He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross so that our sin might be wiped away, that we might be forgiven, so that we might enter into a holy place that otherwise we would not have access to. God's great desire is to live with his people, to live with us. And by forgiving our sin and making us holy, he makes that possible for all eternity. This last sermon is a very practical one. We've talked a lot about things in the future that you can't exactly act on for quite a while. But here, we're going to talk about things we can do in our daily lives, things we can do every day. And that is maybe to answer the question, how to make heaven on earth? How do we make this place a reflection of that heavenly place that we long to be in? We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is giving this Sermon on the Mount with a very familiar passage. His passage has to do with prayer. He's teaching his disciples how to pray, what that they should pray for, and what attitudes they should have as they come to the Lord in prayer. And so Jesus is asking his disciples to pray. Here are the words from Matthew chapter 10. The very first line is simply three words that we are to pray, your kingdom come. That we are to be praying for God's kingdom to be coming here to earth. That it is not merely a place that we go to. It's not merely a place that we hope to enter into later. But that God's kingdom might come here on earth, that it might be established and made here on earth. Your kingdom come is something that we should be praying for, asking the Lord to produce here on earth. Many times we spend our prayer lives talking about all kinds of things. Paul says that we should pray for all things on all occasions, and so praying for all things is perfectly fine. But very often we're thinking about the things that we want and we do not have. James, when he's talking about prayer, says that you do not have because you do not ask. Sometimes the things that we want in life and we do not have, we don't even bring to God. We don't even ask him about. For whatever reason, we may think that there's no reason to ask God about X, Y, or Z. But James also notes that sometimes we don't have because we ask with the wrong motives. That we ask for selfish reasons, for things that pertain to our own desires, but are somehow not connected with the real needs and big picture. That our praying is limited. You see, Jesus is asking us to pray, to ask God to bring about his kingdom here. I have a kindergartner now, and we have gone through some interesting educational changes. In past years, the homework that came home from preschool were coloring sheets. And the way that those coloring sheets work is he picked his favorite color, and then he colored the whole sheet, completely covered with whatever his favorite color or whatever was available at the time. When a little one starts out coloring, they don't stay in between the lines. They usually pick one color, and the whole sheet comes back as a blob. We have graduated because now my little one comes in, and the lines are kind of nice, and the crayon goes up to the edges, and he chooses more than one color. Sometimes the color even corresponds to what it's supposed to look like, but we've made progress. In our prayer lives, when we pray for the things that we want, when we pray for our will, we are taking one color and we are making the whole picture the way we think we want it. But when we pray for God's will, when we pray for Him to accomplish His work and His task, regardless of our wills and our desires, when we are seeking that in our prayer lives, we allow God to make a colorful picture, one that stays within His wonderful design and His lines, so that when it gets done, it is a masterpiece. It is a thing accomplished by God's will, full of love, full of grace, full of the things that reflect His will. Instead of asking God to bless our plans, we should pray, Lord, show me your will. Lord, accomplish what is on your heart in this situation. That kind of prayer is a turning point so that it's no longer about me anymore. It's about aligning each heart, each person, with His. Sometimes we must let go of our own desires so that we can truly embrace the path God has laid out for us. So Jesus continues, not merely praying for God's kingdom come, but we pray your will be done, that your will be accomplished on earth. Not ours, not our great dreams, not our comforts, not the things that we desire or the ways that we think that the world should line up, but instead His. So that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done perfectly in heaven. Everything accomplished and flows exactly the way that God orchestrates and decides. Jesus is saying that our prayer needs to reflect the accomplishment of God's will here, so that it is not ours but His. But this prayer is also a call to action, because it calls for us to prioritize. Jesus is not merely asking His disciples to pray for something that they are not trying to do themselves. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, there is a part of us that must reframe the way that we think about how we live our lives and the things that we do. So that as we're praying, it is not merely we're asking God to do something and that we are opposing Him. But the desire is that it not just be about prayer, but our lives also would reflect this will of God. It is a call to action, to do in our lives and in our relationships the very things that are God's will, to prioritize that, to put a premium on doing the things that God desires. For the past month or so, I've been working with a friend of mine, an older guy in ministry from Illinois. And he's got a book that he's been recommending to the other guys that he works with, and I've been in part of that process. And the book is called Practicing the Way. It's one of many books that I've read on spiritual disciplines, which include prayer, worship, spiritual activities that we can do in our lives. And one thing that was emphasized in this book a little more than it was in others that I've read is the need to periodically evaluate our spiritual lives, to evaluate how we're spending our time and what we're doing, how we're acting, what things we're consuming and how we're doing things, but also how those things are affecting us. I have recently, and not that recently, within the last 2 years or so, completely given up on Facebook. I find that as I go through and looked at the different things, it had no value in my life whatsoever. Some people are consumed with social media, things that they're communicating with other people all the time on their phones. The social people, the people experts in the field talk about people who just zoom through everything. You look for the next article and you just keep moving down. Some people call it doom scrolling. That you're just going through the motions, just looking through things, and you're, before you know it, you've spent 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes at a time doom scrolling through your phone. Most of the time, it's not all that helpful. For me, I realize that early in the morning, my wife gets up early, she gets dressed, she has the house kind of quiet to herself, and I've noticed that I've been awake during most of that time. Shh, don't tell her that I'm just laying there quietly in bed. There, laying in bed, and I noticed that what I'm thinking about is about the tasks I have to do for the day. I'm thinking about what I read on the news or heard on the news or what conversation I had. And after I did this sort of evaluation of how you're spending your time, I was like, you know, now that I'm awake for that 30, 40 minutes or so, I could be praying. And so I have adjusted my day so that as I'm awake, I am praying about people and things and stuff that's going on. God wants us to prioritize the spiritual things that are important for Him and in our lives. One thing this church has is a collection of vases. People order flowers, they get brought in, and then people say, no, you keep it, probably because they have like 12 at home themselves. But nonetheless, we have a collection of vases. You're probably familiar with this illustration, that if I was to take half of this amount and put rocks in, and I filled it up to here with rocks, and then after that, I took the same sort of half amount and I poured sand into it, that I could still get the sand in after the rocks were put in first, couldn't I? But if I put the sand in first and I fill it up to halfway with sand, I'm not going to be able to get the rocks to all fit in the vase. Our lives are filled with things. We fill stuff up to the top with our lives, don't we? We rarely let any moment just be idle. We fill it with TV. We fill it with our phones. We fill it with conversation with other people. We fill it in some way, one way or another. But God calls on us to put the priorities first, the things that matter most. And those priorities go in first, and we can fill up with other things. But God's priorities need to come in to play before we fill in our lives with other things. What I've found is that if you schedule it, if you put it on your calendar, if you make a plan for it, it's far more likely to get done. So what are some things that God calls on us to schedule, to make a priority, to put it firmly on our calendars and in our schedules so that we keep those responsibilities from day to day and week to week? One thing that we must schedule, that needs to be an essential part of our lives, is a cornerstone of worship. One of the most important things that we do as human beings is gather together on a regular basis, weekly, if we can, and worship the God who made us, sustains us, and who ultimately brings about our eternal salvation. We need a cornerstone of worship in our lives to make it a priority so that nothing else is allowed to interfere with it, that we don't schedule ourselves other things that would conflict with our worship. Those who are in a habit of coming every week, you don't need to put it on the calendar because you know what you're doing. But if you don't come on a regular basis, maybe a good idea would to be put it into your calendar. Put it on your phone. When you show up, when worship is done, and put it in there to repeat week after week after week. Because when you block it out on your schedule, when you put it on your calendar, you are aware of the priority that it needs to have in your life. In addition to this cornerstone of worship that we need to schedule, we also need a foundation of studying God's word, of Bible study. Making that attendance and participation in studying God's word, preferably with other people involved, is a way in which we get God's knowledge and understanding of who he is and what his priorities are, and we get those into our hearts and minds. Scheduling that, making that an intentional plan, is maybe an important step that we need to take. Thirdly, another thing that we need to be mindful of and schedule if we can is service for God. The Christian life is not just about worship and studying God's word, but the Christian life is also about our actions, the things we do in order to serve the Lord. Whether that is leading a particular ministry, participating in some sort of benevolence, whether it's filling in a role or responsibility so that someone else can benefit, so that God's love and his word might be better known. The Sermon on the Mount calls on us to prioritize so that God's will, his perfect will, might come about here on earth. Jesus, in talking with the Pharisees, mentions that the Holy Spirit is within you. Excuse me. The kingdom of God is within you. It's something that we work on from the inside out. So that as we do his will, that those experiences of needs being met by those who are hurting and lost, so that the holiness and grace of the Lord might be seen and experienced by people. The kingdom of God is established from the inside out. Jesus, in another place, speaks of a couple more teachings about the kingdom of heaven on earth. And one of those things is that it needs to be promoted so that we pray and we prioritize but we also promote. Luke chapter 16, verse 16 begins this way. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John, meaning John the Baptist. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached and everyone is forcing their way into it. That first line again says this way. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God has been preached. You see, Jesus, his intent and part of the process of establishing heaven on earth is that there be a promotion, a proclamation of God's plan for us. You see, as Katie was even mentioning before, none of us invented the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And all of us came to believe it because someone passed it to us. Someone shared that good news with us. Whether they handed us a Bible or they taught us in Sunday school or they showed us with their lives and their prayers, they explained to us the importance of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior so that we might experience eternal life. That good news has to be promoted. It has to be shared. It has to be told. Up until John the Baptist came, the message of God and the explanation of his will was that which was found in the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. That was what they were told to share and promote and proclaim. But with John the Baptist passing and Jesus' coming and his ministry beginning, it is the good news of the kingdom that we now proclaim. The good news about Jesus and that God's kingdom is able to be established in every heart, in every life. At every time in society when there's been a change, promotion of the gospel has changed as well. So with the invention of the printing press, Bibles became the biggest way to share the gospel and share the good news with somebody else. Bibles were printed in huge numbers. It is still, even though the bestsellers list don't include it, the Bible is still the greatest publication on the planet. There are more Bibles printed and given and purchased than there is any other book, and because it's been that way since the invention of the printing press, they no longer bother to put it on their lists. The Bible is the biggest, has been, the biggest way that the gospel is shared and passed on to others. Well, after the Bible was printed, they decided that they'd start doing radio. Maybe many of you were not around at the invention of the radio, but nonetheless, it was a big deal. Radio programs, lectures, sermons, broadcasts for people to hear. Television. Some of you, I know television. It was an invention that allowed the gospel to go into every home and not just audibly, but also visually. And one of the things that I do despise the most, social media, has been a way of sharing the gospel with people. Of promoting it, proclaiming it, talking about it. And as you probably know, because I just mentioned it, I gave up Facebook. But I know there's a lot of people in here who still use it. Maybe they use something else. You younger people know of things and apps that I have no idea. But it is a tool that can be used to present and share understanding of who Jesus is with the world, to promote the gospel of the kingdom of God to other people who have their phones and understand and can see even how much the world needs a Savior. The gospel of the kingdom needs promoted. It needs an advocate. It needs someone who is going to speak for it and proclaim it and share those things with other people. Most people feel unqualified to do that kind of level that it sounds like I'm speaking of. But in reality, I'm speaking of simply inviting a friend, talking to a neighbor, sharing that inclusion of come to worship, come to a Bible study, come to this or that. That kind of invitation, that simple way of sharing an invite for God into someone else's life may be exactly what they need. Inviting people works. Inviting people to come to worship, to come to church, works. And it's as simple as a conversation, a card, or a text message. To build the kingdom of heaven on earth, we not only need to be praying for it and prioritizing it, but we also need to be promoting it, encouraging it, inviting people into it. Lastly, as Jesus is finishing up this verse in Luke 16:16, he invites us to push or to press the kingdom of God into this world. Again, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. Everyone is forcing their way into it. My twins have been playing basketball. Practices on Thursday nights, games on Saturdays, and it's been a lot of fun. They are doing pretty well. They're improving. And one of the skills that they had to learn, very short order, was how to do a press. If you know basketball, which you may not, it goes like this. Usually, the defense runs all the way back to the other side of the court to defend the basket. They're supposed to stay there and keep the other team from shooting and getting it in. And the defense only happens on that half. But when you do a press, particularly a full court press, defense starts on this end and it covers the whole court. They had to learn a full court press really quickly, which was fine because they just did man. They did a man defense, and so as long as they could find their man to defend, they were fine. They had to learn it really quickly so that they could press. They could cover the whole court and give a full court press against the team. Jesus, in talking about getting people into the kingdom of God, says that it's a full court press. That people are striving, pushing, fighting, moving, doing what they can to get the kingdom of God to grow and be amplified in the world. It means that we need to strive for growth, that we need to be full court pressing for spiritual things in our lives and in the lives of others. It means that if your prayer time and your quiet time with God has gone stale, it means full court press. Let's get it back into life. It means if your attendance at worship or your attendance at Sunday school has dropped off, it's time to full court press and get it back where it should be. It means that we do a full court press to get our neighbors and our friends and other people in our lives to be part of God's kingdom. to share with them and invite them and talk to them about spiritual things. Because God wants us to make his kingdom a priority, that it's important, and that our lives are built around the eternity that we hope to enjoy. The reason why Jesus is sharing this verse, this couple of sentences, 16, is because the Pharisees were passively waiting for the kingdom of God to show up. The Pharisees were looking around, waiting for something big and glorious external to happen. And because they were looking for someone else to produce it, someone else to bring about the reign of the Messiah, they didn't see that the Messiah was right there in their midst. See, the kingdom of God doesn't come because of our careful observation. See, the kingdom of God comes within us. That's where it begins. So that as we manifest and as we grow in our spiritual lives, that we may invite others to also be growing into the kingdom too. You see, those who make the kingdom of heaven, those who help build something of God's rule and reign here on earth, they don't do it passively. They do it actively. And for that reason, we pray for it. We prioritize it. And we promote it. The beginning of God's kingdom in our hearts begins by the simple faith of beginning to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That by his death, that those who believe in him have their sins washed away. A new life can begin. And though that faith may be as tiny as a mustard seed, though that faith may be very, very small, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed planted. The tiniest of seeds, growing and growing and growing into the mightiest of bushes. Today you may be feeling God's call on your heart to be a part of his kingdom. If that's so, be sure and take the option. Say yes today. Let's pray. Lord, as we are here in worship, we've come to hear you, to know your word and to have a better understanding of what you desire for our lives. Lord, we pray your kingdom come. We pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be active in making your kingdom here. In the name of the King, we pray. Amen.